Central Ohio City League Sports Show here. Here we go today with a blast from the past. I'm your host, Dr. Vince Clarino. Joining me today in the Legacy Lounge is a former West High School Cowboy, Jimmy Glasgow. And Jimmy, we're about to take off and sprint here and go down memory lane. Say hello to everybody here in Central
Ohio. Hello, everybody in Columbus.
Yes, indeed. Hey, so look, let's just get right into it, right? I look here, man, and I see, and you had, I think you've had a pretty interesting time period in high school, right? And we'll kind of get into that, but I'll see if you maybe take us there. But you, your claim to fame was you were a sprinter, but you were a multi-sport athlete kid.
Yes.
You came out in the 80s, right? Do we dare go back
good
that
years,
far
good
for some
years.
Of
Let's
our
go
listeners?
Back. Let's go back.
Right? I mean, you know, many of our listeners, these kids are born in the 2000s. When you say 19 something,
yeah, they say y'all, were y'all
yeah,
slaves?
Yeah, yeah, they, you know what I mean. They think fossils immediately, right?
Yeah,
and so their mind goes back to a time, but you know, the 80s, the 90s, and really continuing on, we've had a lot of glory years.
Yes.
So when you look back, just at City League sports in general, track and field, what do you think about it back in the 80s, just in your mind? Before we get into your own story, just, I mean, was it fierce in your mind? Or tell me how you remember
fierce.
It.
We had some of the best competitors in the state of Ohio, you know, Northland, South, Brookhaven. They've had more athletes than anybody, period, dot.
Yeah.
Any sport,
yeah.
Period.
Northern Linden area, yeah. They've had a good run.
Yeah. Yeah. Linden McKinley, Marion Franklin. There's a lot of lineage that comes through as far as sprinting and track and field. Even in sports in the 80s, yeah. We had great basketball teams, great football teams.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of the iceberg. Then we kind of feud on to the late 80s and early 90s, and some of those kids were some of the little brothers and sisters of the athletes that came through the 80s.
Certainly. You know, we've had a legacy for 100 years. I mean, I don't know if people really understand that. I mean, you can go back and look into the state record books,
yeah.
And you're going to see kids from Central and East and Linden, yeah. And South all the way back in the 1930s,
yep.
1940s, the 50s. I mean, like, yep. It just keeps going,
it's
right?
It's a history.
Yeah, and we continue to produce. And there's a reason why, like to me, even present day, I look up, and I won't get deep into it, but just there's always people knocking at the doors,
yeah.
Of our families and kids because they're trying to get them to come out to their community.
Yep.
Hey, come on out here and do sports out here.
Yep.
But you're West Side guy, right?
Yes, sir.
You grow up there, and then so in track and field, when do you get introduced to the sport? When do you become a runner, a sprinter? When does that happen for you?
When I was 11 or 12, I used to run summer. Summer track,
okay.
For Capital City Comets.
Okay.
And
Capital City Comets been around forever.
Forever.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, every other track and field program started, they were a branch of the Capital City Comets.
Capital City, okay.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know
so,
that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So they after their coaches coached there, some athletes, and they came from there and started their own programs.
Okay.
At 11 and 12, I was a hurdler as a kid. I won the Nationals as a hurdler.
Okay.
And then I got to high school, hurdles grew, I didn't.
There you go. I got you, yes indeed.
And so then one day I was at practice. I was a baseball player.
Okay.
And one day I was watching the girls run on the track and I ran home and said, "Dad, can I run track?"
Mm.
He was like, "That's what you want to do."
Yeah.
He said, "You know the process."
So you switched sports right
yes.
there in the middle of that season? So you stopped playing baseball
yep.
and went on to head out to track and field.
Yep.
And this, what grade is this?
I was a freshman.
Oh, okay, ninth grade year.
Ninth grade, 110 pounds.
Switch over and say, "Hey, look, I'm going from this. Yep. I'm going from baseball. Boom, we're going to go ahead and do track."
So, and the guys were out practicing, and they say, "This is a city champion." So we raced, and I beat him.
Okay.
I said, "You can't beat me."
Who was that?
Thomas Johnson.
Thomas Johnson, okay.
And even then, they was always told, "You're too small.
Mm.
You're too little." I was 110 pounds.
Okay.
I ended up playing football. I started as a sophomore. As a junior, I was first team all district at safety. But my whole mentality was, "Oh, I'm gonna show you that I'm not too small.
Mm,
I'm gonna show you that I could.
It's some heart in here. It's some heart, some fire in here. Yeah.
So
yeah. Do you have siblings?
Actually, I have two sisters, two brothers. And the story is, I was the least talented of the five.
Whose story is that? Is that your family's story, or is that your? No, I'm curious. I'm just saying when you said the story is, I'm just curious when you say that. Is that how your family speaks to it per se when you all are maybe talking together?
And initially they do, but the difference was I refused to be number two.
Okay.
I refused to be outworked. I refused to tell me I can't do anything because they told me you too little, you can't run 100.
Yeah.
Okay. We're gonna find out.
Yeah. Your siblings were athletes also.
All of them. Yeah.
All of them. So where are you at
I'm fourth of five.
You're fourth of five. Okay. So you almost a baby then.
But they didn't treat me like that.
Didn't treat you like that. Yeah. Okay. So you say, hey, look, I'm going to switch over to track, and in your ninth grade year, even though having previously ran some. In club sports, right, and things of that nature. Now you're kind of running in the big leagues, high school sports, right? Is that fair to maybe talk about it that way?
Yeah.
And so, what do you remember when you first started off?
I remember practice a lot because that's my focus, working hard. Mm-hmm. And I came to practice, and they said, "Well, we got this to do." And my whole thing is, they're not going to outrun me.
Mm, okay.
And that was my whole mentality. We had a kid on my team. His name is Greg Booker.
Okay.
Shady Grady.
Yeah, okay.
He was more talented than I was.
Okay.
But again, the premise was, who's going to work the harder? The difference between good and great is the work ethic.
Okay.
And that's what I propose. And as a young fella, I had a blessing. I had a personal coach as well. His name was Wayne Roberts. Chief. I called him Chief.
Okay.
He taught me the nuances of sprinting. About relaxation, about technique, about arm placement, about foot placement, about breathing. How do you breathe in certain events, certain races? And I was a student,
absorbed all of it.
Yeah, and I kept saying, whatever you got, I want it.
Yeah,
because I want to be that guy. I went to the state finals as a freshman. I got fourth.
Okay.
And I cried after.
What was your event? What was 100
and 200?
100 and 200. Okay.
And I ran a 4x4 at some time. All depends on when we need points.
Yeah. Okay.
And they said, why didn't you run the 4? I said, I'm going to show at 1 and 2. Why didn't they run 4?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's it's a sprinter mentality.
Okay.
Yeah. Then I cried. I talked to my coach after the meet.
Who was your coach back then at West High School?
A guy named Ed Fitzsimmons.
Okay.
I talked to him. I said, coach, when I come back here, they going to know who I am before I leave here.
Where were states at in the 80s?
At the Horseshoe.
Okay.
At the stadium.
At the Horseshoe. Yeah,
back
yeah,
in the
yeah.
day.
There was no Jesse Owens.
It was the Jesse Owens there, but the track ran around the field.
Yeah, I know that, but I didn't know. I thought they didn't. I'm talking about Jesse Owens Stadium didn't exist.
No.
Yeah. I'm talking about the track.
No, yeah.
The track used to be around the Horseshoe Stadium.
Yeah, around the Horseshoe.
Yeah. That's
it
what I'm saying. Well, now I'm saying, they have their own separate Jesse Owens Stadium.
It's not the same. It's not the same atmosphere. I mean, you're talking about in high school, you got 60,000 people at a track meet yelling and screaming.
Right.
And you coming off the curve, you're like, oh, I got to go.
Right.
I got to go. My mom, my grandmother up here watching. I got to go.
Yeah. So when you were in school, states were at the Horseshoe. So you all are playing at the big field.
Yep.
And I see in my notes, right? And so in 82, you came in sixth in the 200, right?
Yep.
What were these moments as a freshman and a sophomore? You make it to state, and what goes through your mind coming up a little bit short of maybe what is your own goal in your mind per se?
My coach had a saying, are you willing to work 1 year for one day?
Mm.
And that saying meant from the day from the state meet all the way back to the state meet the next year, are you willing to work to that?
I like that,
that
one. I'm going to steal that one. I'm going to steal that one.
And that's what I focused on. I got better. I didn't lose a race in my junior year.
Okay.
You know, in 1982.
But before we get there, let's stay in that. I just want to hear kind of what, do you feel like that drove you?
It drove me. But I also had older teammates. They were seniors when I was a freshman.
Okay.
They always motivated me. They always looked after me. They would always say, just be mindful of people who are trying to get you out of your mental place.
Right.
You know, people are going to talk trash. And for me, that only made it worse.
Okay.
I'm like, oh, you going to talk? I'm going to show your mom and your daddy.
You're going to show everybody. Yes, indeed. Okay.
So
how in general, before we get into your junior year, which I think was sort of a breakout and a tell-all, before we get to that, how in general was West High School athletics? in the 80s during that time frame?
Hey, we were very athletic in football, basketball, and track. Yeah. If you played basketball, you would want to play at West High School because we had music going on. We had the music.
But we still got some music going on now.
Yeah.
What was playing back then? Come on, give us a blast. What do you remember when you say
Space
that?
Space Cowboys. The Wild Wild West. That was our show. The Wild Wild West. Yeah. That was our song we played.
Oh, yeah. So, Wild Wild West. Yes, indeed.
I commentated the games.
Okay.
I commentated. So if you came in as another team.
You were doing some of the announcing.
I did game announcements. If you were that guy, I would show you respect. I would I would introduce you like you're supposed to be introduced.
Yeah, nice.
And so if you came in there, if you wasn't that guy, you got nothing.
Got a regular introduction. Yeah,
it was always excitement.
Yeah.
It was always excitement because athletes in that era, we competed hard as ever against each other. After it was done, we say, hey, man, what's up? How you doing?
All
good.
Left.
How's everybody? Everybody's good.
Yeah.
So, but as athletically, we were competitive.
Okay. So now you come off of that sophomore year. The drive is there. You're saying, hey, look, I want to get to this pinnacle. So what is your mindset, 16, 17-year-old kid, junior year of high school? What is your, because, you know, track is a spring sport.
Yep.
So you go through football. I take it in the fall. Yep. Did you play football?
I ran summer track as well.
So you did some club track.
That's what grew me.
Okay. You did the club track.
Yep.
And then you go into the fall. You do football.
Yep. And then after, take a week off of football, start track again.
Okay. Doing some indoor stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So then you do some indoor stuff. Yep. And then you're getting ready for the spring because you're saying, look, I'm trying to get on the scene.
Because what happens is like 1982. I was telling Jordan, the Jesse Owens Relays was held at the stadium.
Okay.
I had the pleasure of meeting Carl Lewis and Calvin Smith, who held the world record at that time.
Okay.
In 1982, I'm the first sprinter in the state of track athlete in the state of Ohio to wear a speed suit.
Okay.
It was given to me.
Okay.
So I wore it that day. Next month, everybody had them. So I'm like, okay. This is kind of nice. And then goes on to that summer.
So prior to that, it was sort of a shorts and tank top outfit?
Yeah.
Okay.
And going to that set, and that summer, my coach pulled me to the side. He says, early this summer, you're going to run a lot of 400s. I'm going to bring you back down to 200s. And my response was, whatever makes me great, I can't wait.
Mm.
Okay. So, and he always had different sayings, and different individuals in sports had different sayings. He was like, I can't make you great if you don't want to be great.
Mm, okay.
So he said, what are you willing to do?
Yeah.
I'm willing to work. Whatever it takes for me to get to that level that everybody stands, that's him, he's coming in to meet.
Yeah.
I chose that.
Okay.
I chose that. And my formation was, if you can't outrun me, if you can't outwork me in practice, you don't deserve to beat me in the meet. That's the way I felt.
Yeah.
So I mean.
Yeah. So okay. So now let's get to it. So you enter into your junior year, and obviously there's all sorts of invitationals and different meets going on around Central Ohio and around the state, leading up to obviously cities and then you know districts and regionals and state championships. When did you know in your junior season I got a chance to maybe win it after having those two, you know what I mean? Those two experiences as a freshman and a sophomore. Was there a meet? Was there a moment somewhere along the way?
It was indoors. It was the Central District indoors.
Okay.
And actually I got thrown out of the meet.
Okay.
Because I had an incredible start. The 55 record was like 6-1-2. I ran 6-0.
Okay.
I ran 6-0, but it threw me out of the meet because I raised my hand.
Raised your hand at the finish line? Oh, okay.
I got kicked out.
Was that frowned upon back then, I take it?
It was kind of frowned upon, but I didn't care.
Oh, okay.
So after that moment,
tell me about that for a moment when you say you didn't care. Why not? Why do you say you didn't care?
Because I'm the show.
Oh, okay.
They come to see the show. I'm the show.
Okay.
If you're going to come to see the show, this was part of the show was going to be, you don't like it, go work harder and beat me.
Okay.
So after that, and our coach was like, did you know how fast you just ran? I said, yep.
Mm.
And he says, what are you thinking? I said, I'm thinking I'm going to dominate the state of Ohio this year, and they're going to know who Jimmy Glasgow is.
Okay.
They're going to, every time I come in to meet, they're going to say, that's him.
Okay.
That's that guy.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And even encouragement, and my personal coach, he was always being positive, always putting positive things in me.
Yeah.
And we would talk about races. I knew how to race certain people, what their strengths were, what their weaknesses were, what I needed to work on, how I needed to approach the race mentally. And my reaction time, I had one of the best starts in the country.
Okay. Yeah. We talked a little bit pre-show here today. You and I, we had a little bit of a conversation, and you talked about a start for a sprinter. Talk a little bit about that, if you would.
That's basically kind of like the broken thing that I see that people are not teaching. It's about arm placement, foot placement, the right angles in the blocks. And it's not, start is not fast, it's reaction.
Yeah.
You have to do those things to teach athletes how to react. I used to sit in a room with a light on me and my coach would drop a penny. I had to respond.
Mm.
If you hear those, now they have this buzzer. I hate it. It's like, I'm like, I'm used to a gun.
Right.
So back then, if you did not react at 5 meters at racing against me, you're 3 meters back already.
Yeah.
So it's about reaction. You got to teach kids routes. You got to do drills as opposed to reaction in the starting blocks, how to hold your body at a certain angle, the hips slightly above the shoulders, being able to hold your shoulder and your arm placement, your hands placement right on the line. Those are things that people don't take time of. It's like when you set your blocks, I've always been taught to set my blocks all the way, because when your foot sits on the block like this, when the start, it does like this. It hits the block and then it goes out. That's a thousandth of a second.
Yeah.
So if I teach them, put the foot, the heel all the way on the block, so the only one way it comes out.
Mm.
And her enhances the start.
And the reason why I wanted you to touch on that, just because I've spoken to a number of track people. We've had some track people sitting in that chair as well, right? Over the years that we've been lucky to do this show and blessed to do this show, and I've never heard anyone talk about the start as a reaction. Focus. You're the first person I've ever heard say that. Yeah. And I don't know if you're the only one out there saying that, but you know what I mean?
Let me ask you this.
Yeah, no, sure.
If somebody has a gun, if you pow, what you going to do? We out.
Yeah, certainly. That's what I mean. Yeah, no. The reason why I asked you to repeat it was because I wanted our listeners to get a chance to hear that.
Yeah.
So I didn't want, I mean, no, I'm not in dispute of it. I'm saying I love it. I think it's great because hopefully there are some coaches, some parents, and some kids that heard that just now and said to themselves, that's my missing ingredient, maybe. You know what I mean?
Like,
because I've never heard it shared that way.
A lot of kids.
Yeah. But let me see. That wasn't me challenging you. I hope you didn't take that. Oh, yeah. That was me impressed by you saying that, because that's why I asked you to repeat it, because I've never heard that before. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead. You said you were saying a lot of kids.
It's a matter of a lot of drills. Sprinting, the start has a lot of drills for reaction. I do a lot of drills for reaction.
Right.
I do stuff, light, soft stuff, loud stuff, so they understand. Let the sound bring you out.
Certainly.
Don't try to count.
Right.
Those days are over.
Right.
Because we used to count.
Okay.
One, two, two and a half, we come out. But back in the day, we had three false starts.
Right.
I take two.
Right.
She take two.
Right.
100 be a half hour.
Right.
So
right.
Now it's about reacting to sound.
Okay.
Reacting to sound. And you put them in a situation where they see nothing, all they can do is hear.
Right.
That becomes a better reaction. That becomes a staple to how you prepare to get out of the blocks.
Yeah. I like that. So going back now, because I know I took us a little bit down that piece, but I wanted listeners to have a chance to hear that. So we go back to your junior year, and now you do indoors. You have a great experience. You start to go through the season, and then take us on the journey. Let's start with cities, and then take us on the journey.
In my year, I came out in 84.
Okay.
No sprinter in my class beat me.
Okay.
Period.
Okay.
Not even in practice.
Okay.
We would go, our coach, he was from Steubenville, Ohio.
Okay.
We would go down to Steubenville, to Steubenville Relays. That was our first outdoor meet. Well, we went to West Virginia, the Wheeling Relays. Our first meet in Ohio, it was Steubenville Relays. And there was always this concern, none of the Columbus sprinters in the last 10 years have won 100 or 200 at Steubenville.
Okay.
That day, who was the biggest innovator? Is my dad. He drove me up there. He followed the bus. I was in his car. A mile out away from the stadium, he kicks me out the car.
Okay.
And he says, you better not lose today.
Okay.
So when I walked there, I had my bag because I had my street clothes on. I would always take my street clothes. I walked in. My best friend, his name is Anthony Tucker. He was sitting at the gate waiting for me. He said, what's wrong? I was in tears. And then I went on to set the records in 100 to 200. And I was looking up in the stands at my dad because every time he worked two or three jobs sometimes.
Yeah.
Every time the 100, I could not see him. But at the 200, he would always stand at the top, closest to the finish line, at the top. And he would tip his hat. And I was saluting.
Yeah.
And I'd say, it's time to go.
Yes, indeed. So just an opportunity between you and your father to have a special moment. And then we'll jump to states then in that year. So in that year in the states, you finished you won the 200.
Got finished second in the 100.
You finished second in the 100.
I was out of lane eight. I was in lane eight.
Okay.
Did not have a good prelim. But yeah. I mean, it is what it is. The same distance everybody's got to run.
Yeah.
That day, somebody else was the great one.
Yeah. Do you remember this? Do you remember this person, Rodney Whitlow? Do you remember him?
Yeah, I remember Rod.
Do you? Yeah. So I mean, when I went back and did the search on it, Rodney Whitlow, you and him crisscrossed on the 100 and the 2.
Yep.
You won the 2. He came in second in the 2.
Yep.
And then he came in first in the 100, and
yep.
you came in second in the in yep. the 100. Going back to that, obviously from the sequence, the 100 runs first.
Yeah.
Share with us your mindset after, you know, having such a successful season leading up to states. What happens then after the 100?
After 100?
Yeah.
It was over. You got to see me at 200 meters.
Okay.
Come see me.
Okay.
Because I'm that guy at 200 meters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Having not maybe lost that year, as you shared, after having that experience, how did you build yourself back up?
It just remotivated me.
Okay.
Oh, he got to come to see me in my event.
Yeah.
I hated 100.
Okay.
You make a mistake, you lose.
Okay.
If you want a talented field,
yeah.
you don't have a good start. You don't know how to close. And that's the difference a lot of times in sprinters. Now, I've seen it over the years. I have drills to teach you how to close your last 30 meters. You get to your top end speed about 60, 70 meters.
Okay.
And you got to hold on. Everybody
is that common for the sport?
Yeah.
In the 100?
Yeah. It's
okay.
About 60 meters.
Okay.
And then you have to decelerate slower than everybody else. I have a drill that I've taught over the years that teaches kids how to close, how to maintain their speed at 80 and 90 to 100 meters.
Okay. Well, my speed is slow from 5 meters all the way to 100. So mine is be the same slow speed.
Listen,
all the way down.
Now I'll race you to the refrigerator. I'll race anybody to the refrigerator.
Come on, there you go. Yes, indeed. Right. So my speed is always slow. And I share with kids and coaches today in the difference in sports, in my opinion, there's a big difference in being quick and being fast.
Yes, yeah, very, very, yeah.
You know, you can be quick on a basketball court. You can be quick as a tennis player in your lateral movement. You can be quick in a lot of other sports, but it's a lot different than lining up and then being able
ahead.
To go and straight
yes,
ahead.
That's a difference.
And that's a different level of fast, right? And so I share that. So now you have this moment. Is that your first loss of the season your junior year?
Yep.
So at that point you're rolling, right?
Yeah.
Did you win cities that year in the 100?
I won the city 82, 83, and 84.
Okay.
80 my
in
sophomore
100
year,
and the 2?
100 and 2. My junior year, they called me for a false start. But my teammate won 100.
Okay.
And the only other guy who has more sprint titles in the city is my man Maurice Hall.
Okay.
And I was just blessed to be his coach.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So in Mo Hall was a phenomenal
That's
athlete as well. So let's share. You have your first defeat in states, which could really maybe for some kids go either way, right? I mean, I've seen some kids who don't have maybe the poise and the mentality to go back and regroup later on. But you evidently, you know, you had the support, you had coaching, you had your own training.
Yeah, so after the race, I went under the stadium. I just took a deep breath, be like, it's time to move on.
Yeah.
My family was there about 200 deep.
Okay. Yeah. So you had a lot of support.
They were up there cheering. They was like, we got to go.
Yeah.
So I get to the 200 meter mark, have an uncle, my Uncle Terry, just got out of prison that day.
Okay.
I did my start in the 200. He's standing at near the curve in the stands.
Coming to get a chance to watch his nephew
was still
run.
He was still in his uniform from prison.
Yeah, just coming to get a chance
and
to watch
these,
his
He had these
come
articles
to get a chance
in his hand. He said, nephew. And I looked up at him. I said, go down there. I'll see you at first.
Yeah, okay.
So, and then I'm standing in the starts, and I'm starting to focus, see my race. And it was always a focus. When the race is done, it's over.
Right.
Win, lose, or draw, it's over.
Right.
You got to move on.
Right.
And that's the way I was. That's the way I was taught to prepare.
Okay.
And after the 200, when I came out the curve, I was 12 meters ahead of everybody. I said, "No, they can't catch me."
Okay.
I just relaxed and just kept moving.
Yeah.
And got to 10 yard line and threw my fist up and I said, "They better not throw me out or they got to fight."
Yeah. So that was. I take it. That was a nice maybe redemption moment.
Yeah.
Is that fair
for me,
to say
it wasn't
that?
Redemption. It was. This is the event that I love.
Okay.
I hated 100.
Okay.
People say, "You ran 100. I hated it.
Yeah.
Because you can't make any mistakes.
Right.
On it.
Okay.
And the 200, you can make mistakes. You got 200 meters to regurgitate and get back in the form and do your thing.
Okay.
So,
okay.
And I knew if they were on a straightaway with me, I was a better technician than anybody, period.
Yeah.
By far.
Certainly.
And I was like, "Oh, they're going to have to see this technique. If they can't keep their technique,
they're
going to fall off."
Right.
And
right,
so when I came through the tape and I clenched my fist and I looked up and I seen my dad.
Yeah.
So when I talk about my dad, I get excited.
Oh,
so.
Man. Hey, look, if you can't be a little bit emotional about talking about your parents and on a show like this, then we on the wrong spot, man. So, no, but that's great to have. I share all the time. You know, if you ever, all our listeners out there who are our regulars, they know support systems mean a lot to me. Yeah, and you know, if you have that nucleus of people, whether it is, you know, your coaches, your classmates, your family, if you got the right people that can help support you through these challenges, because it's difficult, and it certainly is difficult to become a champion, right? Like not everyone gets the chance
to
run at states, right?
No.
Not everyone gets the chance to be a champion.
I always say, if you're not in a final, if you've never been to a state final, don't even talk to me about it.
Well, that's what I'm saying, right? Well, and that's my point I'm making. Like, you know, that's a much different experience, right? For a kid who is in the sport of track and field, right? Mm-hmm. It means something to continue to have that excellence and you keep advancing on in states, right?
Even as a coach, I always believe if you never ran 25 miles an hour, how are you going to tell me how to get there? I've been there.
Certainly.
And I know how to have that conversation. I know what the body feels like when you're going through the process.
Yeah.
I know what to do. Because
I
usually, as a coach, I would write my workouts from the state meet on back.
Okay.
Because I've always planned on being at that state
meet. Yeah, there you go. I like that.
So
share with me then, because I'm curious. Typically, when somebody has your level of success, 9th grade, you make it to states. 10th grade, you make it to states. Junior year, you excel, and then you're on the scene, and you're the first and second place in two of the premier sprinting events. So then, share with me your senior year.
I had gotten hurt indoors. I had a third degree, I had a hamstring tear.
Okay,
I wasn't even supposed to run my senior year.
Mm.
I couldn't even lift my left leg.
Yeah.
I got fourth in 100 and the fourth in 200. I got a standing ovation.
Yeah,
but that was the end for me. But I said, I'm not going out without working hard. So I get there, I get fourth, and the guys who have finished ahead of me, you know, we all get together, we talk, they was like, "Man," he said, "if you wouldn't have been hurt, we wouldn't have won."
Right.
So
right.
I mean, but it was a great experience. But
what did that teach you?
It humbles you.
I mean from being an injured athlete, is like when you look back on it, is there somewhere where you maybe should have said, "Hey, let me dial it back and let my body heal," or anything to that nature?
I would
or was
have to
that
wait the
even,
whole season? I wouldn't.
Oh,
ran
would
at all.
You? Oh, okay. So that would have been, you wouldn't have ran your outdoor season.
Yep. And I always live by the philosophy: if you never quit, you never fail.
Okay, certainly.
And that is the pinnacle of how I believe.
Yeah.
And even for me, winning a state championship, I won 5 national championships when I was in high school.
Okay.
A lot of people, they don't win it. They don't even win their district. They don't.
Right.
They win the national championships before they get to high school. When you're out, you overtrain kids at a certain way, and they outrun kids. They get to high school, you run as an 18-year-old man.
Right.
You 15.
Yeah.
It's a difference.
Certainly. We got that young kid running around out there out of, what is he out of,
Maryland.
Philly or someplace? Maryland, something like that.
Oh,
yeah.
He's different.
Yeah.
That's, you know what? 1% of the world can run fast.
That's all the time we have today on WCBE 90.5 FM. To hear the full show, you can find the City League Sports Podcast on Spotify, Apple, or whatever platform you prefer to listen to your favorite podcast. You can also follow us on Instagram at City League Sports 614. Until next time, I'm Dr. Vince Clarno, and thanks for listening.
Stay up to date on your favorite WCBE podcasts with the WCBE app, available now to download for free on iOS and Android.